Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year. It's great to be together. We have launched into a new series that we've titled, I think appropriately, Together, and Pastor Diane took us through a very important theme last Sunday about unity. We want to build upon that, as I've titled this morning's message that comes from Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, called Parting Together, and it's basically code for the importance of worship and celebration, of joy in the midst of often challenges and trials that we have been through together. So Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. How about I read verses 10 and 11, and then responsively together, one voice, we read verses 12 and 13 together, whether you're at home watching our live stream, whether you're here in our sanctuary. Let me begin with verses 10 and 11, and then please join us together, one voice, verses 12 and 13. When the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. And together, but many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise and the sound was heard far away. This is God's word. Amen. When we think about partying, people often have very different pictures that come to their minds when you think of the party. For myself, having traveled right after our Christmas Eve service with my family back to Chicago, I was reminded of that classic film, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and that scene in downtown Chicago. For those of you that have watched it, that was probably the party of all parties in terms of the music, the dancing, the celebration in the city center. It was great. And I do regret showing my kids that film because they tried to pull off a few Ferris Buellers on us, pretending they were sick when they just didn't want to go to school. But anyways, for others, we think about the birthdays. And as I celebrated my 51st, some of you say, oh my gosh, is he that young? What a spring chicken. Others, oh my goodness, our pastor's that old. I assure you that more than the three or four candles that were there, yes, indeed, I turned 51, and I have to confess, I ate most of that cake by myself, and it was good. Everyone loves a birthday. If you just celebrated a birthday, happy birthday to you. We all love a birthday, and whether you are 80 years old, whether you're 8 years old, when people gather together to celebrate your life, are thankful for you, have cake and ice cream, streamers, and just a party in your name. It's wonderful, is it not, as we celebrate another year of the gift of life. And for those that are more introverted, for you getaway people, I just want my favorite books, a quiet place, and let me read and get lost in just the quietness of my reading. However, you experience and you picture what a party would be for you, it is critically important for our souls during this time of a pandemic. In the midst of all that happened this past week in our nation's capital, with all the challenges and the loss, as we've heard even our own church members this past week, God has created us to need celebration and joy and the party in our lives. Whether you are young or old, it is critically important. Here we have the nation of Israel in one of the most celebrative moments after returning back from the exile, where many questioned the goodness of God. Many questioned, does God still care for us? If so, then how could all our enemies come upon us the way they've done, slaughtered our people, experienced so much loss of our loved ones, be stripped away from our homeland to be in exile, and finally, according to God's faithful word, to be brought back to the nation of Israel, be brought back to Jerusalem, and to rebuild the foundation of the temple. This was a party of all parties. And even in the midst of it, and I didn't mention this in first service, you see those last two verses of our passage you read, in the midst of all of our celebrations of life, yes, there is sadness, there is mourning, there is weeping, but we bring all of that before the Lord as we experience what it is to celebrate and to party together. And so we have a wonderful reminder of throughout the history of God's people how important celebration, partying together is. And I think as we look at this passage, what's critically important for us to capture is not just the circumstances or the favorable events that unfolded before the Israelites, but it is a reminder that through those circumstances that, yes, brought a lot of joy to them, it was the heart and character and covenant relationship with their God that was the cause of why this party was happening. And that brings us to our first truth, that the goodness of God is worth celebrating. The goodness of God is worth celebrating. And underneath, yes, underneath the wonderful events that unfolded, it's an encounter with the relationship and the heart of God. Because what were they singing throughout this in verse 11? He is good. His love toward Israel endures forever. They were reminded that through these circumstances that brought them so much joy in the context of corporate worship, I'm sure in private worship and in their homes and together with their children, they were celebrating, they were partying, they were rejoicing with all their being, with instruments and loud voice. But underlying that is a reminder of the heart and character of God, that He is good. He is good. And His love endures forever. It reminds us, when we think about the party, the biblical celebration is our response to the extraordinary goodness of God. That is the heart of the parting that we are talking about. Biblical celebration is our response to the extraordinary goodness of God. Because God is good, because He is good, we can enjoy the party that has begun. For so many of us, we party away trying to forget about the problems of our lives, and maybe we could experience some kind of goodness. But God is the initiator of that which is good in our lives. And the overflowing response is we celebrate, we worship, we experience the party. Because God is good, let the party begin. And often, in the age of such negativity, whether it's on social media, the news 24/7, and from the depths of our hearts, negativity continues to overflow, and we could find a million and one reasons to gripe and complain and be negative. In the midst of that, we are reminded that the goodness of God is found wherever we open our eyes and take a look. The goodness of God is found everywhere we open our eyes and take a look. And that is balm for our soul during these hard and discouraging times. Theologians and Bible teachers talk about the common grace of God. That whether you are a Christ follower or not, that we can experience the goodness of God because we have been made in His image. We live in this world that is good. yes, it is broken because of our rebellion and sin, and yet God's common grace has been poured upon humanity. The very fact that we are made in the image of God, even if we are not a Christ follower. His common grace is seen over all of creation, in the beauty of the mountains, in the glory and splendor that we see all around us in our daily lives and simple things. My kids sometimes have trouble waking up for church. Anyone else can identify with that? And all we have to say is we're going to get you some bagel sandwiches in the morning if you can get up. And it's amazing what a bagel sandwich will do to get them up in the morning. Amazing. God's common grace, of course, experienced in the ultimate way in the giving of his son, Jesus. But for those of us that can begin to understand this, the posture of our hearts, the mantra of our lives is, I see the goodness of God everywhere. And every once in a while, he opens up the scales, if they fall off our eyes, and we are once again made aware of the extraordinary goodness of God for our lives and our world. Jesus, in his inbreaking of the new kingdom and his new covenant, reminds us, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the just and the unjust. Matthew 5:45, God's common grace. He is good. And we experience God's goodness not just in extraordinary times like this worship service here in Ezra that we just read, when we gather together on Sunday mornings or whenever, as God's people, to honor him, to love him, to receive his grace and love and forgiveness and power in our lives, but in everyday ordinariness, we experience his goodness. The celebration that and the joy that we receive when we gather together like this should not just end with the closing song and prayer and then off we are, but it should spill over every moment, every hour of our lives, because God is good. And so this celebration, this feast, reflects the goodness of God. James 1:17 reminds us, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And we are reminded why we could really lean into this biblical truth and the heart and character of God when God created finally the heavens and the earth. And when he finished his creative process, and every step along the way, Genesis 1:31, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. And so what does that mean as we think about our lives and the present challenges that are at hand? It reminds us, secondly, that the goodness of God is worth sharing. The goodness of God is indeed worth sharing. I believe that often when we think about the Great Commission and making disciples and bringing the truth of God's heart to the nations, even as we've seen Evan and Chelsea share in the beautifully done video of how important it is, whether we live here or abroad or to the ends of the earth, that we are engaged in sharing Christ. We are reminded that as we pause on this important topic of the feast, of celebration, of joy, of partying as God's people, that the goodness of God has extraordinary transformative power, both for our own discipleship, but also for evangelism. I believe that it is the bridge that we so desperately need in a world that is hurting and broken and searching. You see, whether you are a Christ follower or not, whether you're not sure where you stand in your relationship to him, when you gather together with your families, when you spend time with friends, when you have a great meal, when my kids are eating their bagel sandwiches in the morning, Whether you are traveling, we probably haven't done too much of that, whether you're vacationing, whether you get a good night's rest and are thankful that you slept well through the night, you don't have to be a Christ follower to enjoy these ordinary celebrations of life. God's common grace, you experience his goodness even in the ordinariness of life. The biggest thing for we who are citizens of God's kingdom and followers of Jesus and his new kingdom is that we can pause and we lift our hearts heavenward in the ordinary enjoyment of life and God's good gifts, and there are so many. We give thanks. We know it wasn't because we've worked so hard or we're so smart or accomplished or we haven't caught COVID yet because we've been so careful and all these things that we often take pride in ourselves. We know how to pause and look upward toward God and give him thanks because he has graced us with his goodness and with his grace. And I think that is a huge difference to those who aren't yet believers in Jesus, that experience a thankfulness in their heart, but they don't know what to do with it. But we as God's people experience those same kinds of thanksgiving and joys in our lives as unbelievers do, and yet we can give thanks for those things in Jesus' name. This, I believe, is a very important, transformative understanding of the heart and character of God and the gospel. I was reminded of this as I saw a social media post on a new show called Somebody Feed Phil. Has anyone watched an episode of this? Oh my goodness, if you haven't, I was very skeptical because I missed Anthony Bourdain so much, no reservations, and I was a big fan, the travel and the food. And then I watched one of Somebody Feed Phil's shows, one of his episodes, and I got hooked. I didn't know who he was, to be very honest, until I Googled him and realized that he was the executive producer of the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond. And here, this interesting fellow, introduced by a very catchy tune, a happy, hungry man is traveling all across the sea and the land. He's trying to understand the art of pasta, pork, chicken, and lamb. Hallelujah! I just can't stop watching this guy, and I've gone through about half of the shows on Netflix. And it reminds me of the goodness of God. They're not doing everything in Jesus' name, I understand that. But all of us can connect with the joys of discovery and culture and people. It shows the goodness of God in the midst of it. We're not that different in that sense than those who don't know Christ. But we can take those things and then direct it and give thanksgiving to our God because we know where those gifts come from and who has blessed us with it. I was reminded of this in a trip that I took with some buddies in Chicago on our motorcycles. We got on the high-speed ferry from Milwaukee, Wisconsin called the Lake Express, and even at 60 miles per hour on this high-speed car ferry, it still took 2.5 hours to cross to Muskegon, Michigan. I mean, Lake Michigan is huge. We enjoyed a wonderful day of riding and hanging out and enjoying beautiful sights. In this part of the state of Michigan, we sat down for an extraordinary meal and some wonderful drinks, and I paused. And instead of preaching the Bible or what have you, as these two new friends of mine were still trying to find their way with the things of God and the Bible, I asked, can I just say a quick prayer of grace to give thanks for this meal? I did. Thank the Lord for the wonderful times that we had. I didn't know if they were going to leave me behind. And afterwards, they said, thank you for that beautiful prayer. That is the power of experiencing the goodness of God, whether you are a Christ follower or not. We make connections, we enjoy just like regular people do, but we know how to make a connection to give thanks, where that comes from, our gracious, loving Heavenly Father. And so, as we are reminded the power of experiencing the goodness of God, we are reminded this morning, thirdly and finally, that the goodness of God is worth pursuing with all of our being. The goodness of God is worth pursuing. The joy of the banquet, the joy of the feast, the party that has gone on in our soul once we become born again, regenerated, coming to know that we have been forgiven and cleansed and given a new life in Jesus Christ, that party never ends. And it is that joy, it is that celebration that fuels our pursuit of God. Once we taste how good He is, we want Him more. The psalmist writes, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Happy are those who take refuge in Him." It is that same kind of joy in experiencing daily His goodness as we gather together and worship, as we experience His goodness in the ordinariness of life and know where that comes from. It fuels also our pursuit of others. That is contagious. We fight with the power of the goodness of God and His good gospel in a time and age that is unprecedented, once in a lifetime that we are going through, such as these days. Fight with the power of the goodness of God. Several years back, I remember many of my friends were raving about this film called Babette's Feast. I almost shut it off many a time. It was very hard to watch initially until I realized that it won the Best Foreign Language Film, the Academy Awards 1987. And as I finally got through it and watched it, it had a powerful message. As it was set in the 1800s on the Denmark coast, this small group of aging believers who had lost that joy in understanding the goodness of God, very committed, very religious, very strict, very austere lives that they were living by these two daughters of a pastor who had passed away. And here one day, Babette appears on their doorstep as a political refugee from the riots in Paris. Little did they know, in exchange for room and board, she would begin to cook for them. She was an extraordinary chef at one of the top restaurants in Paris, little did they know. And one day she won the lottery, and with all that, without telling the two daughters, she prepared a feast. She took all the money that she won, instead of going back home to France, and prepared the meal extraordinaire of her life. As the group gathered to eat, in their austerity, seriousness, and their religiosity, as they began to taste a meal like no other, their hearts began to melt. One movie critic, in reflecting this scene, said that Babette's gifts break down their distrust and superstition, elevating them physically and spiritually. Old wrongs were forgiven. Ancient loves are rekindled. And a mystical redemption of the human spirit settles over the table. And many a pastor, after watching this film, made many connections to the goodness of God. One writing that Christ affirmed the goodness of creation when He used bread and wine to convey the deepest bond between Himself and His followers. He often spoke of the kingdom as a great banquet. Babette's life becomes an image of Christ as the banquet host, Ed McNulty. There's transformative power when we once again experience the goodness of God. Joy is our superpower in a discouraged world. In light of the events that happened at our nation's capital this week, no matter where you are on the political spectrum, in the midst of COVID-19, it is a discouraging time. And yet the people of God embrace and live out what it is to experience the goodness of God, especially in Jesus. And when Jesus says the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they have life and have it abundantly, I believe our lives need to reflect that kind of abundant life, of joy, of power, of celebration, even when no one else is, because we know the goodness of God found in the person of Jesus. This past week, a week and a half ago, when our family was in Chicago, I told my parents I would stop by their home. It's been so tough not to be able to see them, as my dad is now in his 80s, and they've been locked at home for the most part since March. Unlike our church here, many of the churches in Chicago have not met in person since March. So it's been especially brutal to my parents, who love Jesus and love their church and have poured out their lives for decades to see their church thrive. And I stopped by. They didn't know I was that I had stopped by at that time. And there they were, worshiping Jesus, praying together with their pastor through their live stream. And it just spoke to me. Stay near worship. Fight for worship, because that indeed is the key for our celebration, to empower our lives, our pursuits, our loves. Stay near Jesus through the power of worship. And when we experience that, there is indeed a life-giving joy that so impacts you and I, it spills over and we are transported to the wedding feast. In light of the tragedies that unfolded before us in our nation's capital, especially at the Capitol building, we gather together on a very short notice. I think Jamie sent that text to some of the leaders and pastors, and within like an hour pulled together a prayer time to intercede, a call to prayer for our nation in the midst of all that happened. How heartbreaking, disappointing it was to see what took place. And as we spent time in prayer, about 24 of us gathered together, and then we took time to pray for one another. And for those of you that were on that Zoom call, you know that something very special happened as we began to pray blessing over one another and pray for healing in one another's sickness and our heartbroken condition. We began to pray that God's joy would infuse and power and transform. And as I began to watch the little Zoom squares one by one, as the tears started to flow, we were experiencing the party of God by His Holy Spirit. It was so good that though I had to go, and this was a very, very full week of meetings every night, people hesitated to hang up. In the very end, I think Brian was on there, I was on there, it was about 3 or 4 of others, just chatting, sharing, so much joy, something special happened. And as I was in agony to shut off the end meeting, to wrap it up, all I heard was, I love you. I love you. I love you. That is the power of the celebration that occurs when we experience the goodness of God. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. And so whether it's times of celebration, as Kathy and I reflected on these past 3 years, that installation service, and so many of you raise your hands and pronounce God's blessing over us and the church after a long pastoral search, the Spirit of God so mightily present, Oh, what a taste of the joy of the Lord, whether it's a completely packed service that almost seems like a distant dream as we think about Easter service and Sunday services, such as not only this one, but next slide. It almost seems like, when was that? It was like a lifetime ago. And we long to see us get back together like that, that we once experienced. But let us not forget, and I end with this, we don't need to have a packed sanctuary of hundreds and hundreds of people to experience the transforming power of the goodness of God in Jesus. Just cast your eyes on him once again. But God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. No matter what you have been through, when you look at the one who's condemned in our place and has given his life and his goodness for our rebellion and sin, we can't but help say, God, you are so good. You are so good to me. What was the best party you've ever been to? Would it be reading a book by yourselves? Would it be celebrating your birthday? Would it be in a packed room? Would it be in a large festive celebration? But secondly, why is the goodness of God the key to our joy? How we've been tapping back into him to fuel us and to fuel our togetherness in the midst of these great challenges. And if you don't do anything with the sermon, can you do this at least? Name three ways God has been so good to you. As you recount that and verbalize it, you will see a heart transformation as you experience the goodness of God once again poured upon your life and mine. The goodness of God is worth celebrating. The goodness of God is worth sharing. And the goodness of God is worth pursuing. May we come together as one in the midst of our worship and celebration as we experience the goodness of God, even in these extraordinary times. Let's pray. Father, in a world and culture that often relishes in griping and complaining, to be bitter and angry and frustrated, Lord, we take a moment to repent of that negativity in our own lives and in our culture that abounds today. And as your people who have experienced not only your common grace poured upon all of your children, all of humanity, but for those of us that know the extraordinary goodness of God found in the giving of your son Jesus that we celebrated this Advent season, unify our hearts once again with the joy, with the celebration, and with that experience to once again be reminded that you are so good. Remind us of that, transform us, unify us, that we indeed can pursue you and others with the joy that flows out of the goodness of God. Amen.